Case number 74266, the State Engineer of Nevada versus Happy Creek, Inc. We have Mr. Bulletin representing the appellants, Mr. Taggart representing the respondent. Mr. Bulletin, would you wish to reserve any time for rebuttal?
Yes, Your Honor, I'd like to reserve 5 minutes for rebuttal.
Okay.
Good afternoon, Your Honor, and may it please the Court. My name is James Bulletin, Deputy Attorney General, representing the Nevada State Engineer in this matter. Underlying this case are two indisputably correct decisions made by the state engineer. One was his decision to cancel the water right originally of Happy Creek based on their failure to comply with the permit terms and failure to comply with the 30-day notice that they received. Second was the state engineer's decision to reinstate the water right with a new priority date, pursuant to NRS 533-395 sub 2 and sub 3. And just to note, these water statutes are to be strictly construed as stated in the preferred equities case. However, on review, the district court made two errors in this case. The district court granted equitable relief. Despite the remedy at law provided by NRS 533-395 sub 2 and sub 3, and did so without first deciding whether the state engineer's decisions were supported by substantial evidence and whether they were arbitrary or capricious.
Well, didn't it was implicit in the court's comments that he agreed that you had to follow the statute and revoke the permit and set a new priority date, right?
And that's correct, Your Honor. The district court did notice that there was a mandatory requirement in the statute, but he didn't make specific findings about the evidence that was before the state engineer in making his decisions regarding the cancellation or the reinstatement. He did notice that the statute required this action, but then the district court jumped to equity.
Isn't it more applicable for permittee to make that objection or to make that request for a finding? Because if the state engineer's basis for canceling the permit isn't supported, then it applies. It seems like there's a disconnect here for me.
With regard to, it's mostly that the state engineer, he used discretion in this case both to allow the hearing and to reinstate the water rights. So he would like the record to be developed and to find that, okay, the cancellation was based on substantial evidence. It wasn't arbitrary or capricious because Happy Creek did have the opportunity to present any evidence that it wanted while getting asking for the reinstatement. And that comes to a later point that I'll discuss later, that based on Happy Creek's argument, it's difficult to fathom a situation where a water user would not be able to go to the state engineer, ask for reinstatement, and then using those same factors immediately go to the district court. Under this holding, in this case, the state engineer uses his discretion both to have the hearing and then decide to reinstate the water right based on a lot of the same factors that Happy Creek used to present at the district court, which I'll get to in a second. Regarding the second issue, which was that the district court erred in allowing a de novo hearing and witnesses on the limited judicial review provided by NRS 533.
Yes, you're pointing to error in the court using equitable considerations in this case. Tell me why that's error, considering the case law that goes back to 1921.
Because there used to not be this statutory remedy that's at issue in this case. The state engineer used to be under a requirement that if a permittee failed to meet the terms of their permit, he had to cancel it. And that's why we have the American National case and the Bailey case and the Engelman case, where he had no discretion whatsoever. And even in the American National case, this court stated it would be nice if he did have the ability to have discretion in these water cancellation type cases, and I think the legislature responded to that by adding this statute.
Doesn't that undercut your argument a little bit with regard to the fact you're saying that they didn't present these this evidence to support the district court's finding concerning equitable principles? But if they're not allowed to discuss equity and the state engineer isn't authorized to consider equity, aren't they precluded from presenting that evidence to the state engineer and precluding the district court from reviewing that?
Well, the permittee is allowed to provide those type of equitable things. That's what the state engineer takes into consideration.
The state engineer can't make an equity decision, right?
Well, it is in his discretion whether to reinstate the water right at all. There's a situation where somebody missed the deadline completely, and maybe they weren't using their water, or there's a situation like that where they'd come to the state engineer, maybe he'd deny the hearing at all, or maybe he wouldn't reinstate the water right. Those are equitable principles that he takes into consideration whether deciding to reinstate the water right at all.
With the cancellation of a permit and reestablishing a new priority date.
Correct. So, when and that leads perfectly to the next point, is that...
Council?
Yes.
Hi. When was the statutory change to allow them to rescind the cancellation?
1981.
Thank you. Go on.
So, in 1981, the legislature added this specific remedy at law to allow the state engineer discretion to reinstate a water right with a new priority date upon cancellation. And if you look at the legislative history, the intent of this statute was both to allow the state engineer to have discretion in these types of cancellation hearings and also to limit the amount of litigation that he was facing. Because basically he was put in, and as the court said in American National, an unenviable position because he was required to cancel the water right and then immediately face a lawsuit for doing the right thing. The district court's decision here makes it worse. What happened here is now the state engineer, in his discretion, can put on the hearing, take evidence, have an entire hearing, and then be sued for doing the right thing all over again.
So the legislature's enactment of 533 subsection 2 and 3 in 81, those were both enacted at the same time, right?
Yes, they were both enacted.
Yeah, and so the legislature spoke on the court's use of equity jurisprudence to correct these matters, and it said the state engineer will have the discretion upon a proper showing, in effect, to demonstrate why the permit should be reinstated. But the other component of that is that the priority date would be required to be changed by statute. Now, my question is, why shouldn't our equity jurisprudence not apply to a reinstated permit? Is it because that it expressly violates a statute that the legislature has enacted?
So there's multiple reasons, Your Honor, and it raises the question of, like I said earlier, this statute was enacted with the purpose of limiting the amount of lawsuits the state engineer has. And so in this situation, they were aware of the jurisprudence from American National and those other cases. And
yes, I'm not sure we're communicating. The distinction between the exercise of equity jurisprudence or equity authority of the courts to correct a wrong has been specifically addressed by this statutory scheme and appears from the legislative history to have substituted courts' exercise of equity in these situations.
And I agree with you, Your Honor.
So my question then is, the district court in this case relied on equity jurisprudence to adjust the priority date, which directly contravenes the language in subparagraph 3. Why shouldn't the district court be permitted to use equitable jurisprudence that has as its basis or its authority a time period that predates 1981 but was carried over after 1981 in other circumstances to apply here?
It's because those cases were in the legislature's mind when they instituted this remedy. And they were aware that the courts, regarding before the pre-statutory remedy, they knew that the courts were fully reinstating water rights. And with that in mind, they decided to still provide this remedy, but they said that you would not be able to have your full priority date. They can reinstate it, but it's the date that you filed your petition with the state engineer. And I think it's because these statutes are to be strictly construed, water is scarce, and there's other people in these basins that are diligently following the terms of their permits every year. They're diligently filing their extensions of time and their proof of beneficial use. And I think respondents, Happy Creek, make the argument that the loss of a windfall isn't a harm, but this isn't a windfall. These are people that are diligently, they're following their rules. It's not that they did something a long time ago and they just are reaping it. They're every year filing their extensions of time and proof of beneficial use. And just to note, there's other consequences to the state engineer if this is affirmed. I mentioned previously that now he's in a more unenviable position than he was pre-statutory remedy. But in fact, the bulk of cancellations and reinstatements are because of these types of missed deadlines. This is the exact situation that the legislature intended to happen, is what happened.
So your point is that if this court were to sanction the use of equitable remedy, which is directly contrary to the provisions of subsection 3 regarding priority date, the state engineer essentially would have no guidance here. Equitable remedies could be offered in every one of these extensions, and the priority dates would be rolled back using the same reason that the state engineer was given under subsection 2 to allow the permit to be reinstated.
That's exactly what I'm saying, Your Honor. It's hard to fathom a situation where the state engineer wouldn't look at the factors and find enough to reinstate a water right and then not have those exact same factors brought to the district court to try and get equitable relief to reinstate the priority.
And because the state engineer doesn't have this equitable authority, you'd never be able to provide the original priority date because the statute forecloses that.
Exactly, Your Honor. And then just a couple other notes just to distinguish this case from those pre-statutory cases is that in this case, Happy Creek does not dispute that it had notice of both the in its permit terms that it needed to file the extension of time proof of beneficial use, and it received notice, as did its agent, of the 30-day notice of the impending cancellation. And in this case, Happy Creek did not lose use of its water. While it did move to the end of the priority, it still has full use of its water in this case, and that's what the legislature intended with this statute, and I'd like to reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Taggart.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chief Justice and Associate Justices. May it please the Court. My name is Paul Taggart. I represent Happy Creek, and I'm with the law firm of Taggart & Taggart here in Carson City. With me here today is Mr. Dan May, who is an owner of Happy Creek Ranch, and also Mr. Glenn Thied, who is a ranch manager for Happy Creek. There are three main points I want to address today. First, that an equitable remedy is available to restore priority. Second, that a district court can consider new evidence when considering considering equity. And third, that the evidence in this case clearly supports the district court's decision to restore priority. Now, the question of whether the district court can restore priority as an equitable remedy is a de novo review for this court. And as has been made clear, this power existed before NRS 533395 was amended. And this power has existed as far back as courts of law and courts of equity have existed. The legislature cannot take away that power from courts. When the legislature puts a mandatory duty on an executive officer, the courts have equitable powers to relieve that duty. Just like in England, when the law created something that was unfair, the courts of equity were always available to give justice.
So if the legislature were to adopt a more sweeping revision of the water laws in this state and impose very strict and limited time frames and very specific consequences, the court system of Nevada could disregard the legislature speaking on those issues? Is that your argument?
My argument is that when, as in Bailey, Engelman, and American National, a mandatory duty is placed on the state engineer and it results in too harsh a result, some remedy has to be made possible. It's not a sweeping change to the entire water law. The first part of NRS 533395 sub 2, where the state engineer can decide whether to rescind the cancellation, is a discretionary decision. There's no equity allowed to that. But the second part, to mandatorily require that the priority date change, is a mandatory decision on the state engineer. And this court has already stated that that provision is not to be strictly interpreted. In Anderson, this court restricted the application of that provision of the mandatory change in priority date when vested rights are involved, because it would impair those vested rights. The court recognized that the change in priority date is an impairment on a water right.
Statutory rights. Anderson, that was pre-1913, correct?
That's absolutely correct, Your Honor. And but my point is that the plain language is not as strict as it appears. The court has already found one way of limiting it, but also in desert irrigation, decided after this amendment, this court reviewed the priority losing provision of 533395 sub 3. This court looked at the application of that provision to a untimely extension of time, and this court granted equitable relief in desert irrigation because an individual relied upon a professional water right, a water rights professional. They relied to their detriment, lost their water right, and in desert irrigation in 1997, this court granted equitable relief. So equitable relief post-dates this change in the law.
Mr. Taylor, with respect to the priority as opposed to just losing the water right, wasn't it within the purview of the legislature to say, hey, losing it entirely is too harsh, so we want to have a safety valve. So you can get it back, but if you get it back, you're going to the end of the line or the front of the line, however you want to look at the dates. Why isn't that within the purview of the legislature?
Well, it isn't clear that's what the legislature intended, and that's the issue with mandatory statutes. Is a mandatory statute has sweeping application to all situations regardless of equities. And this is the quote to Aristotle that we provided in our brief, that we have, that courts have always looked at that concern of legislatures cannot think of every detail of every situation and cannot take action that would remove the equitable power of courts. So there's no legislative history that indicates that's what the legislature was trying to do. What the legislature was trying to do, according to the history, is limit the amount of lawsuits the state engineer got sued over the rescission of cancellations. The state engineer had no ability to rescind a cancellation. Now he can. Many lawsuits have been avoided because the state engineer has been able to rescind cancellations.
But it's a rare case that this case is distinguishable from desert irrigation. Nobody's contending in this record that I know of that your client was misled by the state engineer or a person authorized to speak for the state engineer in connection with the failed permit filing.
Well, in that regard, this case is distinguishable from desert irrigation because desert irrigation was an individual that worked for the state engineer. But here we have an individual who's been doing water rights for 40 years, did water rights for this entity for 25, filed hundreds of filings with the state engineer. This filing was mailed to him prior to its due date, and he made a mistake and did not file for Happy Creek.
He wasn't the state engineer's agent. He was Happy Creek's agent.
That's true. But what else could Happy Creek do? And this is the point of district courts and of equity. What else could my client do except to hire a water rights professional, pay them, have them do these filings, and then when they fail to make a filing, and now the potential is they can lose their water. So I want to talk a little bit about what that means, because the state engineer has said, well, they're not really losing their water. Losing priority is significant. Anderson recognized, the Anderson case recognized that, that you when you move to the end of the line and there's a shortage of water, you get nothing. And in this case, Pine Forest Valley is over-appropriated. There's 11,000 acre-feet of perennial yield. There's 25,000 acre-feet of pumping. In Nevada, we have many basins where permits are greater than the perennial yield. Here we actually have pumping, 25,000 acre-feet of pumping, 11,000 acre-feet of perennial yield. And the state engineer has issued orders making those findings, and there's been water level declines of over 100 feet. So there is a threat in this basin of potential curtailment in the future, and Happy Creek will move all the way to the end of the line. What does that mean? Their ranch devalues when they lose their priority. So this is a significant event in Judge Kosach's view. A colossal harm is going to result if priority is lost to this to this ranch. Now, this court in Benson had the case before this case. In Benson, the water right holder did not exhaust their administrative remedies. They did not file for rescission of their canceled permit. And in that case, the court stated that exhaustion was required so that the district court would be in a better position to consider whether a party has proved adequate grounds for having their permit restored with its original priority date. So while Benson obviously did not say that that remedy exists, Benson appears to signal that if you exhaust administrative remedies, that is a potential remedy that you can seek. Now, the second point I wanted to bring up is the consideration of new evidence regarding equity. Now, I want to point out that much of the evidence in the record and enough evidence to justify the equitable remedy in this case are properly in the record. They are either in the record the state engineer submitted or in the supplemental record on appeal that Happy Creek submitted, which is mainly documents that are from the state engineer's files. So I'll get to that in a minute, but there is sufficient evidence in the record from those what I call record evidence, proper record evidence, to justify this decision to grant equitable relief. But the district court did consider new evidence in the form of testimony. Happy Creek's owner and Happy Creek's ranch manager both testified before the district court. Most of what they had to say, or much of what they had to say, was already in the record. But some of the items that were discussed in that testimony had to do with the owner of Happy Creek's experiences in other states where they've lost their water rights and they've seen other ranches lose their water rights in Colorado when there was water taken away in vast areas to protect the Platte River. So there's two reasons why the district court can consider equitable evidence as new evidence. There's a legal reason and there's a practical reason. The legal reason is that 533.450 sub 2, the appeal statute for water cases, states that a full and fair opportunity must be available at the district court. It says that all proceedings of the district court must be informal and a full opportunity must be heard before a judgment is pronounced. So if an individual is entitled to equitable relief, they should be allowed to present equitable evidence. And the state engineer does not have equitable powers. This was discussed earlier. There's no reason for this evidence to be put on in front of the state engineer. If you look at the Engelman case, at page 353 of Nevada 98, at page 353, the court stated that the doctrine of exhaustion does not require one to participate in proceedings where an administrative agency clearly lacks jurisdiction. So obviously the state engineer lacks jurisdiction to grant equitable relief. There is no reason to put on equitable evidence in front of the state engineer. Where else can it be put on? The state engineer says if you adopt this rule, you overturn Revert v. Ray. That's not true. Revert v. Ray is a case about substantial evidence and the substantial evidence test. Substantial evidence test in Nevada regarding water rights goes to the question of, is the state engineer's decision proper? And in order to decide whether his decision is proper, he looks to whether substantial evidence exists. And a court is not to reweigh the evidence that he considers. A court is not to, and a court is to defer to the state engineer. On decisions the state engineer makes, those are statutorily required decisions like an appropriation, like an abandonment. That was the case in Revert v. Ray. Those types of decisions, the substantial evidence test exists. And in those types of cases, the court should not consider new evidence. This is not a case like that. This is a case of evidence that the district court cannot consider itself.
Mr. Tiger, just to go back a little bit just to our discussion of 395 sub 3, and the concept of limiting litigation, why wouldn't every single person who got their license back but lost priority be going to court for equity? Why wouldn't every single one of them go seek equity?
Well, many permits are issued by the state engineer, and the individual never puts the water to beneficial use. The time comes for them to put the water to beneficial use. I mean, you have a case in front of you now, the Warm Springs, the Intermountain West project. The individual never puts the water to beneficial use. They can't come and ask for this. My client put this water to beneficial use. They certificated it on their ranch. They picked it up and put it down at center pivots to be more efficient. They got that certificated, so they went through the permit certificate process. Then they went through it again. They got permits and certificates. Then they moved the water to be a little more efficient, and not everybody has that actual beneficial use of water.
But doesn't the state engineer consider all those factors in terms of setting aside the cancellation? Isn't that precisely what they have
well,
to
it's,
consider?
Well, it's one of the things. No, I think he considers, did the dog eat your homework in deciding whether or not to rescind a cancellation? He looks at why were you late, really, these are informal proceedings. Like we said in our brief, there was a tape, no transcript. There's not sworn testimony. They happened very quickly. It's not a hearing officer who does these proceedings. So whether someone used their water is a factor, but it's not necessary to get your cancellation rescinded. What's necessary is a reason why you weren't able to file. So the floodgates won't open because not everyone can come with an overappropriated basin where they could end up losing the value of the ranch because of let's weigh all those factors as Judge Posach did. Look at the mistake that was made. My client couldn't have done anything reasonably more, except file them himself, but that's what a professional's for. And then they lose their priority, they could lose their ranch because they're in a basin that's overappropriated.
Mr. Taggart, what is your view as to why the legislature adopted the language it adopted in paragraph 3 of 1981 that said that the priority date will change based upon the reinstatement of the permit?
If someone's not using their water under their permit, they shouldn't be able to stay in line. It's that simple. My client,
the statute didn't put in an exception that said if, in fact, they are advancing their effort, they're expending funds, they're utilizing their water to establish a proof of beneficial use, they get the benefit of the original priority date. They didn't say that in the statute. They said as to all comers, if your permit's reinstated, your priority date goes to the date of reinstatement.
Well, the legislature rarely says everything we'd like them to. The legislature said that all applications have to be approved within 1 year, and we know that's not necessary, and we created an equitable solution to that problem. And so the legislature never thinks out everything that could possibly happen. I don't think they understand water situations as clearly as we hope they would when they consider this legislation. But I think if you think of the typical permit where someone is given the permission to go out and use water, and then they never do, that person has not exercised diligence, which is what's necessary under common law prior appropriation. My client has exercised diligence from day one.
So my concern is this, and it goes to the point that Justice Stiglitz was addressing earlier. It seems like under the umbrella of equitable relief, the courts become super state engineers when they are rescinding actions taken by the state engineer that are specifically required by statute.
Well, we don't have a record of how often this happens. I think you can tell from your own case, though, this doesn't happen very often. Not many water right holders stand in the position of my client, as I've stated, to go through the exercise of litigating with the state engineer, to be able to establish the value loss, to be able to establish the overappropriation of basin. And then the clean hands of not really having any responsibility for the event. I think those are the things that create a rule
In desert irrigation, you stated that manifest unfairness needed to be corrected.
Excuse me, Mr. Chair, I'm going to have to cut you off. I wanted you to answer Justice Hardesty's question, but I think you did. If you want to make a quick 15 seconds.
I'll quickly say that the court in desert irrigation said that under these unique facts, that type of equity made sense, and that's what we ask you to do here. We ask you to rule that courts have equitable powers in a case like this. They can consider new evidence. They can consider evidence that's in the state engineer's files, even if he doesn't consider it, and that you affirm under these unique circumstances the restoration of priority to correct a manifest injustice. Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. Mr. Bilotin, you have we'll give you an even 2 minutes, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor. I just want to touch briefly on the other point is that
if you can hear us, can you hear us in Las Vegas?
We can hear you fine up here.
Okay, I have a question, which is that in this case, this rancher had pre-existing, fully certificated and protected water rights, and in an effort to improve to maximize the efficient use of those water rights, changed from flood irrigation to a pivotal, central pivotal type of irrigation system, which required that he change the permit because he was changing the point of use. It wasn't a speculative effort where he had never used these water rights, put in to use them, and then never was able to put them to sufficiently provable beneficial use. That strikes me as a very limited application and one to which the plain language of this statute may well not apply and equity may well apply. And I'd like your thoughts on that.
That is correct, Your Honor, that these were change applications. However, that was fully within their knowledge that they received a new permit. And in those permit terms, they required the extension of time and the proof of beneficial use filed by a certain deadline. And these deadlines are strictly construed in water rights cases, including in the Anderson family case, where this court held that failure to comply with a permit's terms may render valuable rights worthless. While they were previously certificated, I still think that puts it having the permit puts it squarely in line with NRS 533.395 sub 2 and sub 3. And if I could just briefly do a quick conclusion, Your Honors. Just to touch briefly on what Mr. Taggart was saying at the end there, we believe the district court erred by providing Happy Creek essentially a de novo hearing, taking evidence and testimony that could have been presented at the administrative hearing in violation of NRS 533.450 sub 1. The requirement that they be in the nature of an appeal, and this court's holding in Revert versus Ray, and we believe it was inappropriate for the district court to grant equitable relief in this matter, as the legislature intended this exact punishment to fit this type of crime, to use the words of the district court, and specifically intending to decrease litigation and provide the state engineer with discretion in reinstating canceled water rights. And this remedy at law was adequate despite Happy Creek's speculation, and that foreclosed equitable relief in this matter, and we request that this court reverse the decision of the district.
Okay, thank you. You have a question, Justice Hardesty?
I do. Counsel, why has Mr. Taggart argued shouldn't this court apply desert irrigation's holding to this circumstance?
And I think you hit the nail on the head, Your Honor, when you were responding to him in this case. There's no allegation of detrimental reliance. The state engineer did not give any improper information. They provided the notices. They provided two notices. And that is why this case is distinguishable.
Thank you.
Thank you both, again, for outstanding arguments and briefs. And this matter will be taken under submission.